and of love and of a sound mind. And we see that. We see what God gives. So if God gives power, love, and a sound mind, who gives fear? Who gives depression? Who gives anger? Who gives worry? And all of these things. There is an opposite force dealing in this world, and we need the power of love and of a sound mind from God as we deal with this. Go ahead and turn over to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, and before we read there, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us. And Father, I believe that the people in this room are of sound mind, and God saved people for as far as I can see tonight. But Father, we're in a crazy world. And I pray that as we look at this subject, that we'll look at the Word of God, we'll see what the Word of God has to say, and understand that the Word of God is sure while the world is ever changing. And I also pray that you would help us to be able to recognize what's going on around us, to prepare for things that might come down the road. Help us to, before we take steps in getting mental help from outside sources, that we would be careful to search the Word of God first. And I pray that you would help us to be able to be a help by having some of this knowledge to other people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this. I want to, first of all, say this just in case. If there is someone here and you are taking medications for depression or anger or anything else, do not, because of this message, go out and just stop taking those things. Sometimes when you stop taking something, the side effects of stopping something can be far worse than what you're taking. And these things need to be worked with the person who prescribed them to you to be tapered off in a low way. And I am not the doctor. I do not prescribe or describe medicines. Do not do something that would be foolish because of hearing this tonight. At the same time, be very, very aware of what the Bible says and look at the path that you may need to take tonight. The first thing I want to look at is just the fact. People can break their legs. People have damage that is done to their organs. And people's minds do sometimes break. Sometimes minds are broken by drugs. People have been on drugs and their minds are broken by drugs. Sometimes people's minds get broken over the loss of a loved one. And they take that so hardly that their mind can't cope with that for a period of time, especially sometimes in the loss of a child. And there is legitimate grief. There are legitimate things that happen. Sometimes there is a legitimate physical reason for the brain not functioning correctly. Maybe a chemical imbalance or something that goes wrong. These things all need to be checked out. They need to be understood. If someone's having mental trouble, sometimes it is not their fault at all, and sometimes it is their fault, and it just depends on the situation and what they're dealing with. But understand this, that some of these things are very legitimate. But here's what I want to go first tonight is this, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 and 20. And I say first, get help first off from people who have light, and be very careful about getting help from people who do not have light. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20 says this, "And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony?" So God's saying, look, when you got a problem that comes up, and whether that problem is mental or whether that problem is spiritual or whatever that is, he says, don't go seeking people that have familiar spirits, and don't go seeking to the wizards and wizards that peep. That's an interesting thing. I don't exactly get that. And that mutter. I don't know. I've heard a lot of psychologists mutter. You know, they just kind of sit there and talk under their breath a little bit. But it says this, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. The very first place you should seek for help, especially if you're a Christian, is to God and to the law and the testimony. That's the word of God. That's where you seek for help. And you pay close attention to that and you look at that, the law and to the testimony. And then it says this, if, so he's about to give a warning here, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So I would very first off, if I'm having trouble with depression, if I'm having trouble with anger, if I'm having trouble, and people get pills for all kinds of reasons. They get pills because they're angry. They get pills because they're depressed. They get pills because they're bipolar. They get pills because they can't get out of bed. They get pills because they can't fall asleep. They get pills. In the schools, if a child sits there and they fidget, and you got to listen to this stuff, and you got to read this stuff, and pay attention to this stuff, do you realize all of these people that are diagnosed in the schools to get Ritalin and other things? And let me just say this, 10% of the boys in this country are on some kind of psychotropic drug. That ought to blow your mind. 6 to 7 million children on Ritalin. Ritalin, in the list, Ritalin is an amphetamine. Do you know what else is an amphetamine? Meth amphetamine. It's shortened down to meth, and Ritalin is called Ritalin, but it's from the same general source. And you've got to look at this stuff, and you think, you know, and what they say is this. This is how they diagnose them. Oh, this child fidgets. What child doesn't fidget? Okay, I mean, they fidget. This one, they can't sit still in their seat. Well, there used to be this old thing, fashion thing called discipline. And that worked pretty well. And you know what? I went to school, and look, I got more spankings in kindergarten than you could shake a stick at. Honestly, did you know that? No, you're agreeing with that. I mean, Mrs. Baker took the Hot Wheels racetrack to me over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I wasn't disciplined, because I wasn't taught to, you know, sit still, because I'd misbehaved. They didn't send me to get pills. But if I had been in a public school today, they'd have put me on that stuff. Not because I needed it. I believe that I'm of sound mind. Not because I needed it, but because they didn't want to deal with it. See, what happened is they took away the ability to discipline. And therefore, the teachers, they don't want to deal with this. I mean, how many of you want to watch a child for 8 hours and have no form of discipline available? Not me. Man, take the kid home. I don't want to. In 8 hours' time, a child of kindergarten age probably is going to need a little bit of discipline, aren't they? Those of you that have children in that age, in 8 hours' time, children can get into a lot of stuff. Do your children fidget? Yeah, a little bit here and there, right? They sit good. But, you know, you look at it and you think, if they fidget, if they can't sit still in their seat, how about this one? If they blurt out the answer instead of raising their hand. What eager child that actually, that's the answer I know. I didn't know the other 40, but I know that one. And I'm going to blurt that thing out. Well, you know, it's that excitement because I actually know the answer. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, does the child need discipline? Absolutely. Does he need instruction? Absolutely. He doesn't need medicine. And you think about this. So you look at this, say, okay, if you happen to say, you know what, I feel like I need to go talk to a psychiatrist or something else, you need to find out, does this person have light? And it says, if they speak not according to this word, so if they do not agree with the Bible, there is no light in them. I don't want somebody living in darkness trying to help me out of darkness. If I'm depressed and my mind is in a shadow and I can't get out of that depression, I don't want to go to somebody that's in darkness to help me get out of the darkness. That's just not the way it works. And so you take and do a little bit of test. You know, the same psychiatrist, I mean, you think about this question. A psychiatrist that tells a girl who thinks she's a boy, or a boy who can't decide which restroom to use, that they are normal. There is no light in that man. That psychiatrist needs a psychiatrist. That psychiatrist is insane. And that is a fact. There's no light in that person. And so if they say homosexuality is normal, there's no light in them. I mean, you think about this, and I want to be very careful, but you go to your doctor, and you tell your doctor that you are a porpoise. I'm a porpoise, and because I'm a porpoise, and porpoises have short fins, I want cut off at the elbows. What's that doctor going to do? They're going to say, you need to get some help. But we live in a day and age where a young man walks into the doctor and says, doctor, I am a girl. And the doctor will mutilate that young man. That doctor's insane. We live in an insane world. There's nothing normal about those things. You look at society and what it is. The definition of normal and abnormal. Let me ask some questions. How many of you have lost your temper sometime or another? Okay, now let me ask this. Is it normal to lose your temper sometimes? Now, should a Christian control their temper? Absolutely. But if you lost your temper, you don't need to go to the psychiatrist and say, I need a pill. You need to go to God and ask God for help to get over that thing and to control your mind. Because we've all done it. How many of you sometime have been depressed? Wow. Guess what? It's normal to be depressed sometimes. Now, should a Christian stay in depression? No, and we'll deal with a lot of this. There is so much that we're going to deal with in the next several weeks, and I've got to stay on track. But you think about this, you know, it's normal for you to sometimes face depression. There are people in the Bible that face depression. Boy, Elijah was depressed, Moses was depressed, and we'll look at some of that down the road. It's not normal to think you need an operation to change what you are. That's insane. It's not normal. That person has a mental problem. God did not give that spirit to a person. Before you go to a psychiatrist, remember this. You say, I'm a little depressed. I want to go get a pill to take care of this. And we'll deal with some of that in the next lesson. But before you do that, remember this. When you walk in that door, it's on your record for life. You can't take it back. Chances are, from then on, you may never be able to go hunting again. You may never be able to. There may be lots of activities that you cannot do. There may be jobs that you cannot get over something that people deal with all the time. Be careful about things. Before you go to a psychiatrist, ask them this question. Do you believe the Bible? See, this world, they think that we're crazy. And, you know, I mean, you look at this. We believe that someone from up above the earth is going to come and take all of us out of here. And that we're going to come back 7 years later flying on white horses with him. To the world, that sounds crazy. It's Bible. It's true. As much as God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, Jesus is coming again. He's going to take the Christians out of this world. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation. Jesus is going to come back on a white horse, and we're coming back with him. That's true. People will look at that and say, boy, these Christians, they're crazy. They have no light. They do not have the Word of God. But those same people that say we're crazy are going to say, well, there's a fat man that comes around once a year on December 24th, and he comes down your chimney and goes back up, and he comes down your chimney and goes back up, and he comes down your chimney and goes back up, and he eats all the cookies along the way, and he fits down the chimney that's this big around, and he fits down the chimney that's this big around. And they, when you tell someone he's not real, this world rebukes you. We've had, look, we're pretty blunt about it around here, and we occasionally get a mom, "You told my child there was no Santa Claus." Well, there isn't. We told the truth. You lied to your child. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not living your lie. And you look at these things and, you know, ask the psychiatrist, "Hey, what are you taking?" Because, you know what, I'm not going to an obese doctor to ask how to lose weight. And I'm not going to a cancer-ridden doctor to get help with my cancer. And I'm not going, you know what, you want somebody that can help you, right? You want somebody that can give you sound, solid advice. And so you look at these things, and I'm not going to somebody that's on drugs themselves to ask how to fix my brain. And you think about these things. You know what? We believe in a heaven. We believe in a hell. People say we're crazy. But they can watch Star Wars, wear Star Wars pajamas to bed, run around playing with lightsabers, and they're normal. It's all in perspective. And it's how the world, it's what the world accepts as normal, and it's what Christians accept as normal. But let me say this. The Bible is normal. God is right. Just because the world's gone crazy does not mean that God is not still right. So make sure when you do go to get help, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, Psalm 119, 130, say, "Man, I'm in the state of darkness." Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." If I was having mind trouble, I don't care whether it's anger, I don't care whether it's depression, I don't care whether I have suicidal thoughts, this here is the first place I need to go. Amen. And I need to let these words enter my mind, because the entrance of thy word giveth light. So I'm in this dark place. The entrance of thy word giveth light. You want out of that dark place? Right here's the answer. You don't go to the world and fill your mind with some kind of rock music and fill your mind with television and fill your mind for all this stuff and think that your brain's going to come out not dark. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Now, so we choose. We come to the second thing tonight. We choose what to fill our brain with. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith." Are you saved tonight? So you've obtained like precious faith. This is written to you. "With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." That ought to thrill your soul. There's no reason for a Christian to be in darkness. I'm not saying you never go there. But don't stay there. Jesus saved you. You've got some hope. It says, "Grace and peace." Those are two very good things. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through." Okay, so you want some peace? I'm disrupted. My mind, I just can't. Do you want some peace? Do you want some grace? Here's where it comes from. "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power," and it is supernatural power, "hath given unto us all things that pertain." Now look, he gives to us all things that pertain unto life. Suicidal thoughts come from where? Satan. They don't come from God. God gives life. Satan is a murderer and the father of it. He's a murderer, he's a liar, he's the father of all of that. God gives life. so that pertain unto life and godliness. If you've got thoughts about murder, if you've got thoughts about hate, if you've got thoughts about things that oppose the Word of God, where do they come from? Come on, don't be shy. They come from Satan. They come from Satan. They don't come from God. God gives us life, or things that pertain to life, and godliness. How does it come? Through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. So you've got to choose what to fill your brain with. And God says, look, the knowledge of God, the entrance of God's Word is going to bring light. The knowledge of God is going to bring things that pertain to life, things that pertain to power and love and a sound mind. Satan brings things that pertain to fear and worry and anxiety and all of this. And you have to first of all define, where's it coming from? Who is the author? See, if you understand your enemy, you can fight against your enemy. If you don't know where things are coming from, then you don't know. You're going and you go to the psychiatrist, and it's the same one that can't fix himself, the same one that goes along with this whole idea of homosexuality and says that that's normal. And then he comes back to you and he says, well, let's help you by giving you a pill. See, in some interviews and things that I saw, TV is listed as one of the main causes of ADHD. They had an interview with teachers, and a teacher said this: when that child walks in the morning, I can tell which of these children have had a sugary breakfast, and I can tell which of these children were watching television before they came to school without asking them. These teachers are with them every day. They see the things that affect their brain. And the teachers know one of the main causes of ADHD is television. And, you know, you got these kids, they come in, they're uncontrollable. They come in, they flop down on the floor. But we got it here too. They come to Sunday school. And we try to deal with them the best we can, and we try to help them. We try to give them the entrance of thy word giveth light. But I'll tell you what, they don't even live in a real world. They're going up the stairs, and they're not little Johnny and little Freddie and little Frank. And I'm not trying to use names of real people. I don't know who all the names that come and whatnot. But, you know, in this moment, man, I'm Darth Vader. I'm the Power Ranger. They're living in a fictitious world that is fast moving and just keeps on going. They came right off of the television set. They got on the bus. And they come to church, and they're still living in that world. And it takes some time to get them out of that world, and it takes some time to get the Word of God into them. Through TV and music, people fill their mind with murder. I would hate to say, and I've watched television, I don't watch it anymore, but I'd hate to say how many murders I've seen. I say, how many murders you've seen, but you know what? I have never, outside of television, I have never seen a person killed. Anybody actually see a murder physically in real life? Anybody here seen that? So do you realize that if we did away with television, none of us would have ever seen a murder? It wouldn't even be in our minds. It wouldn't exist there. We would know the Bible says thou shalt not murder. We would understand that people have been killed. But we would have never seen it. We would have never seen it if we didn't see it on TV. You know what? In real life, I've never seen anyone commit adultery. Praise God. But I've seen it a number of times growing up. And you think about it. You want that in your children's minds? Because, you know, if we never see it, you know, the concept, we know it's real, we know it exists. But you know what? Your mind's not even going down that road. You think about it. I don't want my mind going down that road. I don't want my children's mind going down that road. Lusts. You know, it's full of these things. People listen to music that sing about violating women, about worshiping Satan. And they listen to this stuff. And they fill their minds with this garbage. What you're doing is filling your mind with darkness, opposing the Word of God. It opposes the very Word of God. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. All of this stuff is against the Word of God. Therefore, it is darkness. And this knowledge is going to affect your mind. The knowledge of God is going to affect your mind. And the knowledge of darkness is going to affect your mind. And you have to consider that, and you have to think about that. In the old days, you know, people, in the old days before television, people, you know, they got home, you know, the meal was cooked, or maybe they helped cook the meal together. They sat down, they ate their meal together. What a novel idea. They cleaned up together. They brought things. And then they gathered into a room. And in that evening, they either read or talked, or because television didn't exist. And those people, they socialized within their family. They were influenced. They understood the thoughts of other human beings, not the thoughts that people put out there on social media and all of the things that go along with that. I'll tell you, the stuff people would just put out, it's insane. So people, they want a quick fix. Okay? How many of you would love to take a pill that made you lose 20 pounds? You know what? There's a way to lose 20 pounds. And I'm about to enter down that road. Before long. You know what it is? It takes work. It takes self-denial. It takes self-control. It takes some exercise. It takes getting up and moving. Well, think about it. We live in a day and age where a person gets a headache. Give me a pill. I want it gone. I want it gone now. We live in a fast food society. We live in a I-want-it-now society. We live in this society that demands everything now. And instead of looking at the problem, why do you have a headache? Well, all I ate today was junk food. There's a fix for that. Don't eat junk food all day. And guess what? That takes self-control. And so you look at it, or maybe it's simply a lot of times if I have a headache, it's I didn't drink enough water in a day. It's amazing. Now, but the thing is, I'll drink a glass of water, I'll drink a couple glasses of water. It may still take a couple hours. If I just drank the water as I should have throughout the day, I wouldn't have gotten into that state. But you know what? It takes self-control. It takes looking at and saying, what is the problem? But we live in a world that wants a fix and they want it now. If you're depressed and your mind is broken over something, some tragedy, some event, something that happened, it may take some time, but the answer is right here. It is the Word of God. Now, if you have a legitimate, there's a physical reason. They did, you know, all these kids that go on Ritalin, they do not do any physical test to diagnose them. It's just the assessment of the teacher and her report to the doctor. And I'm telling you, you got to read on this stuff. You got to watch some of this stuff. You say, no, I don't want my child on that. They say, well, they can't come to school then. Well, you say, well, no, we're going to change schools then. And there was a lady, and she took her child out of this school, and she went over to this other school and put him in school, and everything was fine and dandy. They didn't say one word about him. He was fine until the records from this school all of a sudden came over. Oh, this child needs this medicine. Can't escape it. And she said, well, no, we'll find another school. And they said, no, we're taking your child. They took the lady's child from her. To my knowledge, she hadn't gotten him back yet. They put him in an institution. They had a picture of the child before and the child later on in the institution. The child looked healthy and right, and now the child is a skeletal, looks terrible. And you think about this stuff. But they want him on this medicine. They want to give him a pill. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 19 says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He says, look, these things are not fables. Jesus Christ is not a fable. This is the truth. We're eyewitnesses. We've seen it. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." And more than one of them heard it, and they weren't hearing voices. It was real. But look at verse 19. "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." You know what this is going to do? This is going to give you light for the day until the day star comes. And then everything will be fine. But until he comes and makes everything fine, understand we live in a dark world. We live in dark times. And right here is the light that you need. And you need it every day to keep yourself on the light side of things. The Word of God is the most sure thing in this world. You want to know how the world came to be? Read Genesis. It's way more sure than, well, the Piltdown Man, and he did this, and oh, the Piltdown Man was a hoax. Proven to be a hoax. Guess where it still is? Why is it that something that was proven to be a hoax can still remain in textbooks? Does that even make sense? Oh, well, we just don't update them that much. Well, they update them in every other way. You think about it. We have hope. We have trust. We know that Jesus is coming. We know that God hears us when we pray to him. There's no fear. There's no worry. Who's your comforter? God said he'd give you one. When you got saved, you received one. His name's the Holy Spirit. He's there to comfort you. You know what? When anxiety comes up, you've got a Holy Spirit. And he's your comforter. If you lose someone, you've got a Holy Spirit. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit can take us through hard times and give us power and love and a sound mind through it all. You're depressed? Go to the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. He's real. Christians need to get over suicidal thoughts and look to Jesus Christ. Don't look to the pills. Now, on the other hand, let me say this. Some people, it's just, there's things around them that affect them and whatnot. But some people are depressed because they've got a guilty conscience, because of sin. You know what? If you're living off of money stolen by the government from other people, and you're sitting there on welfare, and you don't want to get a job, and you don't want to work for a living, you don't deserve to not be depressed. Get a job. Amen. Work. Make something of yourself. Become something. If you're living in adultery and you're sleeping with another man's wife or the other way around, guess what? You deserve to be depressed. And I'm not going to try and cheer you up in your sin. That's just the facts. So if you've caused your own depression because of your sin, repent. Turn to Jesus Christ. He'll wash it all away and you can be happy again. And I'll tell you what, isn't it great to be clean? Isn't it great to to have your sins washed? Isn't it great to have a clean conscience before God? So you got to look at this thing and analyze, am I causing my own problem because of my sin, because of the darkening of my mind? You need Jesus. He's the answer. Paxil is not the answer. Prozac is not the answer. Zoloft is not the answer. Let me read you some things. And I'm not going to read all of these, and I wouldn't read all of them to everybody that's here, but Eric Harris, anybody know who he is? He's one of the boys, 17-year-old boy, that did the Columbine shooting in Littletown, Colorado. Eric Harris, age 17, he was first on Zoloft and then Luvox. And Dylan Claybold was the other boy that did that. They killed 12 students and one teacher and wounded 23 others before killing themselves. Now, Claybold's medical records have never been available to the public. Eric Harris was on Zoloft and then Luvox. Jeff Weiss, age 16, had been described 60 milligrams a day of Prozac, three times the average starting dose for an adult, when he shot his grandfather's girlfriend, and many fellow students at Red Lake, Minnesota. He then shot himself, 10 dead, 12 wounded. Corey Badsgard, I saw an interview with Corey Badsgard, age 16, Washington State, Waluke High School. He was on Paxil. He didn't feel well. He told his mom, he said, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to sleep today. He showed up at school with a rifle in his hand. 23 classmates in a room, and he walks in, and they looked at him. They're like, are you going to hurt us? He looked down. He's like, where'd that come from? The next thing he knew, he woke up in a mental institution. He had no idea what he'd done. He had just been put on Paxil. You think about this stuff. Chris Fetters, age 13, killed his favorite aunt while taking Prozac. Christopher Pittman, age 12, murdered both his grandparents while taking Zoloft. Matthew Miller, age 13, hung himself in his bedroom closet after taking Zoloft for 6 days. You know what these mass shootings are all about in our schools? Drugs. Prescribed drugs. Let's take away the guns. Let's take away the Prozac and the Zoloft. Why aren't they considering those things? It's documented. Well, I come to find out that these drug companies that are producing this stuff, and I don't want to go down some conspiracy theory road, but here's the thing. They have, I think Brother Brown told me this, they have 4 lobbyists for every congressman and every senator. 4. They donate a minimum of $61,000 to every congressman, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, on their campaigns. Well, I wonder why nobody's checking into that. The love of money is the root of all evil. This is crazy. One of these kids, he went to the doctor. He had insomnia. He couldn't sleep well. They gave him Zoloft, an antidepression. He wasn't depressed. He just couldn't sleep. He killed himself. This many statistics, this isn't coincidence. It's not the guns killing people, folks. It's these drugs. They're making people suicidal. They're giving people hallucinations. Prozac has been listed as 12 times more likely to cause hallucinations of killing than any other antidepressant. Not 12 times more likely than the person who's not on anything. 12 times more likely than the people that are on Paxil. 12 times more likely than the people that are on Zoloft and Luvox. And all of these things. You think about what's going on. I'll tell you what, if you've got your children in a school and somebody in that school is on these, they ought to make this public record. Is somebody here taking this stuff? Because I don't want them coming in and shooting my kids. This boy, Corey Badsgard, age 16, at least when he did that. His parents worked with him. He didn't actually kill anybody. He's the one that showed up with the gun and woke up the next thing he remembered. It's totally out of his mind. He said, you know, I started taking this stuff. He said, I was seeing lions and bears and tigers. I was hallucinating. And he says, I was scared to say anything because I thought I was going crazy. He was. They made him crazy. And his parents, they said he was on like 300 something milligrams of Paxil. They began the process of weaning him off, and so he had to be weaned off. They went down. Every step down took an entire month. And they got down to 37, and he says, I'm getting my mind back, Dad. And his dad was there too. He's like, I'm getting my mind back. I can quit this stuff. At 37 milligrams, he decided to quit cold turkey. He'd come down from 300 something. I can't remember the exact number. He'd come down from 300. At 37 milligrams, he decides to quit cold turkey. He went crazy. So they started him back on the 37 milligrams, and they worked it down to, you know, 20 and 15 and 10. They don't make a dose lower than 10. They had to go to a chemical compoundist to get down to 5, to get down to, and wean him the rest of the way off that. He's a normal human being, perfectly in control of himself today. There's another lady. She was on some of this stuff, and her husband realized what it was doing to her. It took him 16 months to get the stuff out of her system. 16 months. He videoed it along the way. He had a picture of his wife. Nice, full face, nice, beautiful hair, everything, all good. She started on this medicine. I mean, it was crazy. And he got pictures as he's dealing with her while she's going through withdrawals. I'll tell you what, I it didn't say whether he was a saved man or not, but I'll tell you, that man loved his wife. 16 months. You know, she's cereal throwing it on her head. She's laying in a room screaming to get some sleep and to be safe. He would go out and sleep in a camper. She'd be out there banging on the door, screaming at him. And she said, and she came to the point where she was suicidal. And he's like, honey, it's just the medicine. It's just the medicine. And he's documenting this for 16 months. At 16 months, she started to come back to normal. Last thing, it showed him and her taking a walk together. It took 16 months to get that garbage out of her body. And guess what? It had never happened if she didn't have someone there to do it and help her through that. This stuff is, you wouldn't believe it. Say, well, how do they prescribe so much of it? Well, the drug companies send out representatives. These representatives go to the doctors and say, here's our drugs. They minimize the side effects. They tell them, you know, this Corey, his parents, they said they never told us that this could possibly cause hallucinations when they prescribed it. Better read the fine print, I guess, but they didn't know. They didn't have any idea. They go out and they reward these doctors. The drug companies reward the doctors by how many prescriptions they write. If that's not crooked, I am telling you, we are in a dangerous society. Realize physical health is not promised in the Bible. Luke 5:31. Luke 5:31. We're going to go through a few verses real quick here. Luke 5:31. Says this, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know, people are going to get sick. Our bodies are not going to live forever. Our bodies need help sometimes. And Jesus acknowledged that. People that are sick, they go to the doctor. People that are whole don't need the doctor. There are times to go. There are times where you have to have a doctor. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our," what? "Vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." You know what? Our body is going to break down. It's going to wear out. It's going to get sick at different times. And there are times to seek help from this. But see, we have, when everything in society is instant, we also then want instant health. You know what? I didn't get fat overnight, and it's not going to come off in one day. It comes on slowly, and it goes away slowly. If you've got a health problem, and you know, granted, some of these things come on, a virus, the flu, they come on pretty quick. But certain things, but we want a quick fix, an instant health, an instant happy. People want to live in a fairy tale world that they see on television, or a fairy tale world that TV preachers present to them. Boy, name it and claim it. You know, if you have faith, everything's going to happen for you. And then people look at it and they think that God's a liar because the preacher told them a falsehood. Well, if you give to God, you're going to have money more than, it's just going to roll out. People give everything they've got to the TV preacher and then they're depressed. And, oh, if you're living for God, you're not going to be sick, you're going to be healthy. Well, why did the TV preacher die then? I always like to say, why are you wearing glasses, buddy? Man, if you can so supposedly heal everybody else, well, you did a poor job on yourself. But people present a fairy tale world of Christianity. And what happens is this, even in presenting salvation, you know what? If you get saved, all your problems are going to go away. And a person looks at that and says, wow, I want my problems to go away. I'm going to pray and I'm going to get saved. And 3 months later, when the problems are still there and they're problems that are there because they brought them on themselves from the sinful lifestyle, and the problems are still going on, and then they're depressed because it didn't all disappear when they got saved. And so then instead of keeping on with God and through time things getting better, they want to find a pill. They want to find something to fix them. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," guess what? The outward man is going to perish, even if you eat perfect like Brother Pringle. The outward man is going to perish, and we ought to take care of it, and we ought to strive to take care of it. It's God's temple, but guess what? It's going to get sick. It's going to perish. Your joints are going to wear out. Your mind's going to eventually wear out. You're going to get old. Guess what? The inward man is renewed day by day. You know what? When the old body wears out, you see some of these people. I'll tell you, Gary West is a blessing to see him with all the health trouble that he's got. And he's not here tonight. He's not able to be here tonight. He got the flu. But with all the health trouble he's got, to watch him come in here, and he's not perfect, but to watch him come in here and try to be in church and have a happy spirit and go down to the jail and still preach to those guys down at the jail and share scripture with them. And you think about it, how does a guy that's that sick keep that kind of a spirit? Well, you got to renew the inward man every day, because God can help you. This world, oh, please take it away. Give me a pill. God is the help for these things. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Romans 8 verse 21 down through 24. It says, "Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption." you know what? Your body's going to be corrupted. I'm not talking about sin-filled. I'm talking about it's just going to wear down and break down into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they... Okay. That's the unsaved people. That's what the TV preacher will tell you. Oh, we're going to be perfectly healthy. Here's what Paul said. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. Paul says, you know what? I want a new body. Now, we want a new body so we can get rid of this wicked sin nature that we've got. But there's a numerous people here tonight that they'd be happy to get their new body. The old one hurts. Boy, they've been married 60 years. I don't know how old that makes them. But they've been married for 60 years. Guess what? You probably got a few things that hurt, don't you? A little bit. I think he's got a knee that hurts him sometimes. You know what? It happens. Older people are hurting. But what a joy to see an older person who understands God didn't promise me perfect physical health. God promised me a renewed spirit every day. And you know what? I'm going to walk down into here and I'm going to work on these scriptures and do this collating. Yeah, my knee hurts, but I'll get a new one someday. And the more that it hurts, the more you look forward to that day. And you're groaning for that day when Jesus is going to come. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, people, so much depression, so much anger, so much of these mental issues are caused by people thinking the world should be a fairy tale world. Job said it this way, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of fairyland. No, he said full of troubles. Guess what? Life is real, and I'm not trying to depress you by any means. But here's the thing. If we realize the truth, and we realize God renews us day by day, and God will give us the ability, and the Word of God will give us light, He will get us through these things one day at a time. One day at a time. I'll tell you what. If Tony McCoy believed that a person who lived for God would never get sick, he'd be a depressed man right now. I mean, so many months in the hospital and then in his home, and boy, he watches himself do better. And then the doctor said, well, we'd like to do 3 more days of chemotherapy. I'm like, oh. I'll tell you what. Guess what? He's not looking for a pill. He's got a Savior. Guess what? If his body ultimately breaks down, he's going to heaven. And he'll get a brand new one. And I'll tell you, if you think you're depressed, if anybody's got a right to be depressed, it'd be Tony McCoy. Man, that guy's been through it. If anybody's got a right to be depressed, it'd be Gary West. That guy goes to the doctor several times a week for one thing or another. That's enough to depress me right there. If, you know, you look at these things, we live, honestly, in the easiest country in the world to live in. And yet we have more of these medicines given out than probably all the other countries combined. What's wrong? People aren't in the Bible. People aren't living in a real world. People don't realize, you know, they're told all their life, I'm not going to get way ahead of myself. We're done. We're done. There is so much on this stuff, but seek God. Renew your spirit every day. Live a happy life. It's hard. It hurts. Get with God and get through it. You'll get through it. You know, today will be done. Tomorrow's a new day. Let God give you some light first thing in the morning. Get up. Go through it. Don't fill your mind with darkness that just drives the light out. Get up the next day. Fill yourself with the light. Keep on going. Jesus is coming. Heaven awaits. Live. Rejoice evermore. Let's stand to our feet.